Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure. How's it going?
We're just trying this podcast thing.
Woo. So, welcome. This is our first ever Talkin' Trash podcast.
Should we? I guess it's fair to say that, like, the way that this started, I think that's a good kind of background piece here. This literally started because we realized that we both have a penchant for, like, really corny movies.
Like, really garbage movies.
Yeah. That are actually, in our opinion, deep down, very good, but that often kind of get snubbed or forgotten.
Yeah.
And we would just talk about them and watch them together, and we were like, we're funny. Kind of. Let's record a thing.
So for further background, the first movie that Lizzie showed me that I thought was trash was the Disney's Three Musketeers, the one with Charlie Sheen in it. So in response, I decided to show her the Man in the Iron Mask with Leonardo DiCaprio, which is just a horrible film.
It really was.
It's really bad.
I felt a lot better about the 93 Three Musketeers after watching Man in the Iron Mask.
I mean, some of Leonardo DiCaprio's line deliveries in that film, and we all know he's an incredible actor, but that just was not his movie. And we'll...
Still deeply entertaining.
Oh, deeply entertaining. And that movie is one of my favorite movies from childhood. So I treasure it deeply, but I admit that it has its flaws, and most of them are Leonardo DiCaprio and his bad wig.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, really bad wig.
The line at the front of his head.
And how you can see how, like, the wig is, like, blended in with his 90s, like, boy band bowl cut.
Oh, yeah, because, like, you can see his short
hair. You can see his short hair sticking out the top of it.
Over his really bad extensions.
Oh, it's so bad.
So enjoyable.
So, yeah, that was the birth of Talkin' Trash.
And so, would you like to, or I guess, first off, how are you?
I am hanging in there. So I sprained my ankle this week. So we're a little sore, a little tender, but we are hanging in there. How are you doing this week, Lizzie?
I am well. It's finally, like, cooler out. Life is kind of calming down. It's fall. It's still 2020, but it's fall 2020. So I guess that's the best version of this year you can have.
It's as good as it's gonna get.
That's how things are. They're as good as they're gonna get. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
All right, so before we introduce our first film, what's the vibe?
Well, currently my vibe is this salted caramel mocha frappuccino that I'm drinking because I feel like that fits what you've chosen for us this week.
Absolutely. I'm rocking the pumpkin spice frappuccino. We've got our nice scented candles, our cozy sweaters, and our sugary sweet drinks, which leads us to one of my favorite animated features of all time, The Last Unicorn. Oh, man. Okay.
Which I have never seen. So this is a share with Lizzie movie.
Yes. So, all right, Lizzie, a little bit of background. This film is directed by two people, Jules Bass and Arthur Rankin Jr. It stars the voice talents of the likes of Jeff Bridges, Mia Farrow, and Angela Lansbury. So already starting off, pretty good cast.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Angela.
Pretty much never go wrong with Angela Lansbury. The score is performed by America, like the 80s band America.
Oh, that makes much more sense than I mean, what I was thinking.
Like, Like, so just, this is the only thing I'm going to tell you, because I want you to go in fairly blind. But yes. The unicorn is voiced by Mia Farrow. So she's got this, like, light, kind of waify, feminine voice. But her internal monologue is sung by a male vocalist from, like, an 80s hair band.
You know, okay, so what I know of this movie is literally just, like, screenshots and little clips I've seen on, like, YouTube. Mm-hmm. And with that very minimal knowledge, that still fits the bill for what I am expecting here.
It's a treasure, and let me tell you why I love this film. So, I grew up on this movie, and the animation is just stunning. There are parts of this film that scared the ever-living daylights out of me when I was a child.
As all good 80s children's movies should. Right?
But honestly, like, I think most people, most little girls either have a phase where they're obsessed with magic or they're obsessed with horses. And this kind of hits that sweet spot between the two. Mm. So the thing about this movie is it actually is pretty well received critically. It has a 71% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and an 86% audience score.
Oh, that's actually a lot higher than I thought it would be, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. But here's why I kind of consider it in the trash camp. This could be personal anecdote. For our listeners out there, you might be thinking, oh, I love this film. As an adult, I have tried to share this movie with many people. In college, I tried to share it with my roommate, Jenny. I have tried to share it with my husband. I have shared it with other friends. And every adult that I have tried to show this movie to that does not have children, who is watching it for the first time as an adult, hates this movie. Hates it.
I'm so excited to be the test case for this now.
I am looking for one adult friend who can appreciate The Last Unicorn.
I think part of why we do this too is because what shocked us most when we met is just how similar our tastes are. So I'm really curious to see how this experience goes for me.
I think you might like it. I think you will.
I'm intrigued.
All right, so we've kind of touched on a little bit of what you were expecting, but give us kind of the full rundown. What are you expecting from this film?
I'm expecting there to be at least one really trippy dream or song sequence. I am expecting I know what the unicorn looks like. I can't really picture what any of the human characters in this look like, but I imagine whether they're men or women, they will all look like women. I just get that vibe. I think I heard there's a talking tree.
Oh, the talking tree. Yeah. We'll get to her.
Yeah, I know there's something weird about a tree. I'm kind of wondering if this will be like watching like the old Rankin Bass like Christmas specials where it's just like a little off the whole time and there's some parts that are really super weird. You know what I mean? Like
I feel like you understand the vibe of this film.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll take it.
All right. So without further ado, we are going to go watch The Last Unicorn, and we will be back after a very short break to tell you what we think.
I will give you my thoughts.
What did you think?
I get why it's like a childhood, mm-hmm. like 80s classic.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't a huge fan, but I got in a weird way, it really makes me want to read the book.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a lot of, like, dialogue in there that I'm like, it's really pretty. That's enchanting also, and sweet.
There's also a graphic novel that kind of slaps. It just has really beautiful animation, and I have a lot of feels about it.
I could get behind that because the things I liked about this were the colors were really pretty. Like, I got that it was very stylistic. I've seen on a lot of, like, you know, book lists, like, if you liked reading The Princess Bride, mm-hmm. you would like reading The Last Unicorn. And I get that, because there's a lot of, like, really, like, sweet, whimsical lines. Mm-hmm. It's just, A, impossible to hear them because of the sound mixing.
Sound mixing is so bad.
And B, I'm not quite sure what the tone mm-hmm. we're going for is. By the way, when I said at the beginning that I feel like this will be the same vibe as those Rankin-Bass Christmas specials, had no idea this was a Rankin-Bass movie. That explains
It explains everything. So much. So we took some notes as we were watching. So let's see, what were some things we wanted to talk about? So we've already kind of hit on the fact that the animation slaps. Let's talk about the soundtrack, because
I'm not gonna lie, that the soundtrack was, again, like, one of the things I liked.
So here's my thing with the soundtrack. Okay, nothing gets me as jazzed as listening to America be like, I'm alive, like that whole, like, Last Unicorn, she's alive, she's like feeling herself. Every time I hear that, it just, like, it does something to me.
I was, like, really on board. I couldn't believe how much I was behind when they'd be like, the last unicorn. I was like, yeah.
I always, like, I end up, like, fist pumping like I'm freaking, like, Judd Nelson at the end of Breakfast Club. Like, it does something to me. That being said, I think Mia Farrow was the perfect voice actress for Lady Malthea / The Last Unicorn. However,
now that I'm a woman,
yeah, it's that, like, was so bad and nasal, and the pitch, and
it got weird. That one got weird.
That part, I just think that they should have had someone else sing the song. No one would have questioned it. Disney does it all the time.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much, like, you know, like, the colors were pretty. The soundtrack was pretty. In Rankin-Bass fashion, it came together in a weird way. Oh, other positives here. As per usual in every film he is in, Christopher Lee is giving a far better performance than this movie deserves.
This film did not deserve Christopher Lee. I mean,
most films don't deserve Christopher Lee.
Like,
that
the
he's
Star
in.
Wars prequels did not deserve Count Dooku. He was way too cool of a character for that film. So that wasn't necessarily a surprise, but I do think that, like, I'm glad he's in this film. It definitely makes me enjoy it a little bit more. Also, Jeff Bridges as Prince Lear, or whatever his name is, who the character looks like Bo Burnham.
Oh, the himbo guy.
Yeah, yeah, himbo Bo Burnham knight man. I'm not gonna lie, I love him. Jeff Bridges' singing voice is not great, but there's something that's so sincere about it that I enjoy it.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've said the things that worked. Can I be honest? What set me off on the wrong foot was I wanted, like from the beginning, it started off with, like, you know, the pretty colors, and she's got this pretty forest. It was very, like, Sleeping Beauty, like, tapestry medieval style. And then some friggin' butterfly comes
in. Yeah, the butterfly is annoying.
Who won't shut up and keeps making allusions to things for no reason. I wanted to strangle that butterfly.
My favorite part is when she says, "Do you know me?" And he says, "Yes, you're a fishmonger," Which, first of all, is a quote from Hamlet, but second of all, is a very dirty quote from Hamlet. Like,
yeah. Again, like, there's allusions and references to things throughout this for no reason. At one point, yeah. Someone says, go and catch a falling star, and I'm like, why are we making that reference?
Yep.
I don't know. It got weird.
Yeah.
Okay, this was a little thing, but I also feel it needs to be said. Narwhals. There's a song that alludes to narwhals.
Not narwhals.
Narwhals. And I turned to Liv and just screamed, narwhals! Narwhals!
Oh, God.
Like, what?
My other favorite, so I wrote down a few, there weren't too many super memorable quotes that you said during the course of watching it, but I did write down that you said, and I quote, word for word, to the screen, you were screaming at the last unicorn, and you said to her, you're literally just a horse with a horn, get over yourself.
Yep.
Which is kind of true.
She was so upset, like, you think I'm just a horse?
But that was like the point of the movie.
You're a horse with a horn.
But
like,
she's special, and she's so, like, immortal and magical that she's so removed and, like, prideful, and then she becomes a woman, and she lives, she's the only unicorn who's ever had regret or known love, and...
I like this story. Like, I do...
Yeah, it's a hot mess.
I do genuinely like this story. It's just, it's a... I the problems with this movie were all tonal.
Yes.
I have no idea what the tone was supposed to be.
Yeah, it can't quite make up its mind. And there's so many elements that are, like, scary, and there are moments that are very juvenile, and then...
The tree?
Yeah, so that's one thing that's really weird about this film, is especially watching it as an adult. There are things that kind of cross some... boundaries in a sexual manner.
Again,
like,
as all 80s movies should.
That's true, but there's so much nudity. Like, the harpy and her three big old titties just hanging out. You know, Lady Amalthea's butt is in the shot several times.
It's very much in the line of children's movies that
yeah.
wouldn't get made today, which yeah. usually I'm all here for.
Yeah.
Like, I'm personally in favor of, you know, movies that frighten children occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
There was some stuff that I was just deeply... I'm pretty sure that when the tree showed up, my jaw just dropped.
When Schmendrick motorboats the tree.
I just kind of slow turned.
I was not watching the screen. I was watching you. Like, I had, like, my hands up to my mouth and I was watching you, and your jaw hit the floor and stayed there for the duration of that scene. Like, I've never seen you look so shocked, and I'm so glad that I could share that with you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, the tree is definitely the worst part. I do love the cat. The cat's one of my favorite parts.
I am 100% here for Pirate Cat.
My favorite thing he says is, like, when he says, like, I be what I be, and what I be is a cat. And then he, like, uses that as some excuse why he can't say something straightforward, because, like, cats just, I don't even remember the punchline, but I just love that line.
Yeah, I was here for that. I was down. I think, like, all the little elements of this, I could see what the intention was and get behind it. I just, it did not come together for me. I am sure that the book is magnificent, and I think if you grew up on this, like, I get it. But yeah, did not float my boat.
Right. So, I do want to take a second and kind of explain why it's, you know, why this piece of trash is my treasure.
Please do.
So, for me, The Last Unicorn was kind of my gateway drug into a lot of other genres.
It was your fantasy Kickstarter.
It was my fantasy Kickstarter. Like, before Harry Potter, before Lord of the Rings, there was The Last Unicorn. And so many of the things I love today, like Lord of the Rings, Dragon Age, Dungeons and Dragons, I don't think I would be as into them if I had never seen this movie. Mm. I mean, there's a very real possibility that I probably would have gotten into high fantasy through another route, but this was just the route that I took, because my sister showed me this movie when I was, like, 2. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I've grown up on it. But the other thing I love about this film, besides high fantasy, my other favorite genre is probably horror. And this movie scared me more than any other film I'd ever watched growing up.
I believe that.
Yeah, like, I remember having nightmares about the harpy, and yet to this day, Mommy Fortuna's Midnight Carnival, that little scene is my favorite part of the movie. Like, the voice of the harpy when she says, she's like, "Sister, let me out," you know, whatever. Then she's, like, talking to the unicorn. And then as soon as she gets out of her cage, she, like, circles. And then, like, the part that has stuck with me is Mommy Fortuna with her arms outstretched, screaming, like, basically, she says something to the effect of, like, you know, "You may kill me, but I held you." Great performance by Angela Lansbury, by the way. But just the sheer hubris of not even caring if she dies because she conquered this magical creature. Just something about that, like, really sticks with me. I just absolutely adore how crazy and horrific she is as a character.
I like hearing you talk about this because, you know, it's one of those moments where, like, again, and I said this before, like, I see how these pieces were, like, supposed to fit together. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, glad that it worked for some viewers. Like, I'm glad that someone's, like, put those fantasy mm-hmm. pieces together.
Yeah.
And came out with this great, like, let's be real, she is a fantastic NPC in yes. anyone's Dungeons and Dragons yes. campaign.
I think that's the thing about this film, is maybe more than almost any film I've seen, it feels like a Dungeons and Dragons campaign. Like, you know how when you're playing D&D, you have the same characters, but sometimes it's a little disjointed. Like, you go into, like, the dark, scary cave, and you're fighting, like, zombies, and everything's, like, absolutely terrifying. And then you finish that, and you go to the pub, and then you try to, like, one time I was in a D&D campaign where we had to stay in an inn, but there were only 2 beds available, and they wouldn't let us in, like, because there were too many of us. So I literally, like, got on another character's shoulder with a long cloak.
You did the 3 kids in a trench coat deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, just before that, we had fought this, like, horrific evil witch who slaughtered, like, all these people and was, like, deeply terrifying. And I think, to me, something about this film, like, has kind of a D&D, like, it's just kind of messing around, mm-hmm. and they're going on this journey, but you're right in that it has a tonal problem.
Yeah.
Like, they can't quite decide, like, when it's scary, it's terrifying, and when it's silly, it's over the top, and
yeah.
when it's romantic, it's, like, gushy. I mean, it definitely needs some help, and I feel like there's kind of a cohesive theme. Like, to me, the film is very much about humanity and kind of what separates this magical entity from mankind, and then she becomes a human and, like, you know, understands them now. But it definitely has, like, a broad theme. It's just, like,
yeah.
we're trying to say something about humanity. And I don't think it ever says anything really specific about humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It has too much to say. I think that's the problem with this movie.
Again, I think it would work really well as a novel.
Yeah.
It's just, and again, these are from the same people who tried to do the animated Hobbit movie.
Right, right.
That also has some tonal issues and some frightening bits and some strangely drawn people.
Yes.
So, doesn't surprise me that that's kind of the same deal that we have here. So, yeah, I guess my... You know, like, I don't know. 3 out of 5 unicorn horns. Is that fair?
So, Amelia.
Yes.
Are we putting this one... Are you putting this one in your personal treasure chest, or is it going in your trash can?
It's going in my trash can.
That's fair.
If I never watch it again, I will be perfectly fine. I think for me... Pacing's a really big deal too, and there were parts where like I was like, oh god, we're still talking to the skeleton man.
Yeah. And it's been like, it's like, how long are we talking to this butterfly?
so it's things like that that make me go, eh. It does make me want to read the book.
Yeah.
You know, I...
Full disclaimer, I've never actually read the book. I've only read the graphic novel.
Yeah.
I've seen the book. I just have never actually picked it up and sat down with it.
I will totally read the book. But yeah, for me, this one's going in the trash pile.
Okay.
And
fair.
And I assume this is still your...
This is still... It's treasure. Still in my treasure chest. And it always will be. I recognize that it's flawed. But I will always love it. And on that note, I'm going to leave you guys with a quote that my husband shouted at us while we were watching the film. The music slaps. It's just a shame that that's the only good part of that movie.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yep, that's the last unicorn. So, yeah, I guess, guys, give it a watch and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Tell us if this is your trash or if this is your treasure.
I am curious to see how many people, like, deeply enjoy this movie, because I know they're out there. I've seen people cosplaying as the human unicorn.
Yeah, fam, if you like this movie, you saw it when you were little. That's literally it. Or you were a parent who saw it with your child when they were little.
That is possible.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of awkward animated movies that have all sorts of things that are probably inappropriate for children, I get the next pick, and we are 100% watching Sinbad Legend of the Seven Seas.
Oh no.
And I am so excited.
All right.
So next week we get My Treasure, and I'm very curious to see what you think.
I will rip that movie to shreds, I'm sure. So join us next week for Sinbad and what is it?
I think it's Legend of the Seven Seas. I just call it Sinbad.
Just Sinbad. The animated Sinbad
movie.
It's
the DreamWorks one. Okay. God. Hey, it's better than... I'm not making us watch, like, the Claymation one from the 50s or 40s or whatever.
Oh, God. Yeah. Right? No, thank you. Thanks for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and let us know below what you think.
And let us know what you think we should watch next week.
And remember, no matter how trashy you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!